So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, this May only, you can get an extra $200 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to therealreal.com to start selling and get your extra $200 to keep shopping at therealreal.com. That's therealreal.com. Terms apply.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Hey guys. We have a special episode for you today. After 2.5 years of doing this, we don't have many firsts for you, but today was a first.
Oh yeah. The first of hopefully many, or at least a couple. Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Our first live episode.
Yeah. It was really cool. We were invited by our host server, Simplecast. I still don't know the terms for the things that we use, but we were invited by Simplecast to do a live show for On Air Fest, which is a podcast festival.
And what that means, we couldn't tell you.
We could not tell you. It was at the Wythe Hotel in Williamsburg. So my perception was like, oh, it's like this super local niche event. It'll be just like podcast industry people. Oh my God, there were so many people there. I was like, who are y'all? What are y'all doing here?
The whole time we kept being to each other like, who are these motherfuckers?
Yes,
like, who goes to a podcast?
Literally, I was like, what freaks? Just kidding. No.
No, kind of though, low key.
And then we made a little post to share because, you know, I think a lot of our listeners are not in New York City. And if they are, they all have like jobs that are happening in the daytime. So they can't just fuck off for an afternoon to come to some podcast festival in Williamsburg. But I was like sharing the link. And then it's like, I was like, get your tickets. And the tickets were like $187. And I was like, I can in good faith tell people to get your tickets.
Right, exactly.
But if that was for like the whole weekend, it was like a 3-day event.
Well, turns out the whole thing was sold the fuck out. So
yeah, that's insane to me.
Vibes. Well, it was funny because we got the invite, like I wouldn't say last minute, but we didn't have a ton of time to plan.
Less than a month in advance.
Totally. And, you know, whatever decisions we have to make about this show, from the smallest to the biggest, we always talk about it, even if it's just like a text message. This one was like a no-brainer. It was just sort of like, we're doing this, right? Yeah, okay. There is, as you'll hear, I don't know how we should set this up, but there was a sort of like a live smell element that I'll be honest, I was very not about.
I know.
Because I'm a control freak and I like thought it was going to like break focus or like, I don't know. But I realized the value of having a live audience and having live smells. So I was like, okay, if we can make this work, I'm cool with it. And we did. God. And the producers of this event were so lovely and helpful. And Sable was very patient with my mania surrounding all of it. But I mean, it was great.
It's kind of nuts, too, to have like a team, like a production team assisting you, even if it's just one or two people. And then I'm like, oh, this is how like real podcasts happen. There are producers who like solve problems for you. Like, what? Well,
it was funny because when we were communicating with their producers and everything pre, you know, leading up to the show, they kept being like, yeah, so your team will and like your team. And I'm like, I didn't want to be like, to be clear, this is the team.
You're speaking to the whole team here. Which is also interesting because like I think a lot of the people who went to the festival that I seem to have gleaned is like people who are podcasters. So they're not necessarily there for like, oh, I'm really interested in this scent podcast. They're interested in podcasting like in general. And they're all like, how do you grow your audience? How do you like measure metrics? Where do your listeners come? And I'm like, what? We don't know.
I mean, we know a lot of that, but I will say, and I think what you're saying is that, we look at the same metrics.
No, but our metrics are actually very opaque.
We know what we need to know.
We know, like, I don't think any more information honestly would serve us. So that's why I'm like, we don't need to upgrade our membership. Also, we spoke to the people at Simplecast and we're like, do you think we need? And they're like, no, you don't need to do this. They're like, great.
And if we don't know, all of your loud asses are in our DMs telling us anyway. So,
yeah.
But I will say that I think we were the only podcast or one of the only podcasts, certainly the only podcast that, of the people that I talk to who we do other things, you know?
Yeah.
It seemed very much, and I'm sure they do too, but it seemed like their podcasts were like their main gig.
That's wild.
Which, I mean, shout out to them. Great.
But I know.
It was just like, I like doing this and I like having the freedom to do other things. And this is one of the other things. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a dinner after the whole day and we got a couple of questions and I was like, oh, you think this is it for us? Like, which would be sick if this was it for us, but it's just not. No, it's that was not. Never the plan, you know?
No.
Which is fine.
I know. I was really wondering, I'm like, who is attending this and like what other podcasts are they getting to like speak on panels and shit? And like, I don't know who anybody is in general. I never know who people are, but everyone's like, oh, that's so-and-so from this and that's so-and-so from this. And I'm like, how do you fucking recognize these people? But apparently like big podcast creators are like, they become like little niche celebrities in their own right. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Whereas I'm just like, can I get someone to pay for my Uber there, please?
I know. I was just like, who here is hot? There were actually a handful of hotties there. But like,
and no working elevators.
No working elevators.
So like looking back, I don't know if you feel the same way, Sable. I hope you do. But like, you know, I'm very hard on myself and like a perfectionist and a control freak. But the minute that ended, I was like, I don't think that could have gone any better. Like, I think it was a really accurate representation of the show and what we do in our relationship. I was just like walked away really happy with it.
Yeah, there were some like logistics.
You don't agree. You definitely don't agree.
Well, there were some, because we like changed it up last minute with like this.
Oh, yeah.
There were like a little bit of logistic issues of like when that was handed out, but like just because we never discussed it. But I don't think it went poorly. Like, I think it went really great. And but I think everyone is really pleased.
You know what, though? I see that, but I am happy that they just started passing them out. And I'm also happy that the people got them, smelled them, had a reaction, but may not have known what it was.
Yes.
I think if we teed it up too hard to be like, so set number one,
it might have
sort of the fun out of it. But we were like kikiing. And then I was seeing the people in the audience sort of like, whoa.
Yeah. No, so, I like that a lot.
You'll hear it in the episode, but it was was set up to have three sections. And it was sort of two with like a bonus round of Q&A at the very end, which I was fine with. It felt very natural. But we just sort of set it up and talk through the show and talk through our relationship and did what we did. And then we had a live sent session that, if you want to talk about that, because I still don't know what happened.
Do you mean the panel?
No. Just the live smell of it all.
Oh, no, that was really clever. I mean, we wanted to incorporate the scents we were talking about, because it's like having a scent podcast, obviously you can't smell the things we're talking about. So once you have like people in a room, it's like, oh, we can get people engaged with this way, which is great. And in prepping for this segment, we were in the green room. And we got it like a bunch of blotters, and like I put them in little Ziploc bags and then like doused the scents in each Ziploc bag. And oh my fucking God, the whole corridor reeked of Abercrombie Fierce for hours afterwards.
And in hindsight, like, we were some bastards to do this.
Yeah,
It was a pretty big room, but it was a brick with no windows or ventilation. And what did we do? We sprayed a ton of Angel, Warm Vanilla Sugar, and Fierce. I'm sorry. We should be deported.
I know. But it's funny. Everyone's like looking at us like, what are you doing? Then they're like, oh, you're the scent podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what of it? Go away. Yeah. Leave me alone.
But I think, you know, even the scent portion, as completely unpredictable as that was, went so well.
No, it went totally well. And I actually think it got people more engaged into the conversation. So
And right after that, we were part of a panel about what was it called, like podcasts that shouldn't work, podcast about things you can't hear,
like,
or some shit,
sensory based podcasts, like podcasts that incorporate sensory elements beyond hearing.
So I thought there were going to be more people on it also, but it was just the two of us.
Just two of us.
And Tamar from The Lonely Palette.
And she has an art history podcast, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And her podcast, I guess, starts off with someone describing a painting without the listener seeing it. So, and she was fantastic on the mic. But I will say that, like, I don't really get nervous or anything, but I had a healthy amount of nerves for our live show. And then having 15 minutes to run down, get to another part of the venue, get on stage for an audience that was at least three times bigger.
Yeah.
My nerves were kind of shot. So, like, we got out there and I hadn't fucking eaten.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, these lights are so bright. It was good. I'm happy with that. Did we get that recording? I hope not. I don't want to hear that show back. No.
I don't think they recorded that. Thank God.
Good.
Y'all want some serious advice here and we're just too silly.
Well, serious, like podcasting advice, like nuts and bolts podcasting advice. And I want to be like, oh, like that's not what we do here. Like,
we are an extremely DIY operation. We record in my living room.
Exactly. Like we let it all come to us, baby.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, like this is a very hard time consuming project for us each week, but we love it and it's great. But it's like, we're not out here fucking like, we don't have strategy decks and agencies and, you know, like.
We don't have a producer, editor. We edit ourselves, which is why it sounds crazy.
I would love a man. It sounds great. it does sound great. That's our one saving grace. But like, we don't even have a manager because we cannot be managed.
We have nothing to manage yet.
Exactly. Except ourselves. And we're not doing a good job of that.
I know.
It was so much fun.
I had a lot more. I was pretty nervous for it beforehand just because it was totally new. We hadn't nailed down the logistics. And we're kind of like changing things up last minute, but it ended up being a lot of fun.
I was more nervous than I usually get, but I wasn't nervous about the you and I portion of it.
Yeah.
That I knew was going to be
that we can always like bring it with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we could have done that for twice as long, but it was just like the nuts and bolts of the scent and whatever. And it went fine. And there was one moment right when we sat down on the couch in front of the audience where I grabbed the mic, looked over at you and was like, oh shit. But like we just like started talking. I think I like cracked a stupid joke and like realized the audience was warm and I was like, okay, we got this, it's fine. So yeah, it was I'm really happy.
Yeah, it was really fun. And they recorded it, so now we get to play it for you.
Yeah, I go back and forth with live podcasts, but I enjoy them more than I don't. And when my favorite podcasts have live shows, I love them. So I hope that you guys will love this.
Yeah. It's like kind of it's a bit of like an introductory episode for the non-initiated.
Yeah, totally.
So if you're new to the podcast, great. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, here's a little walk down memory lane.
Wait, have you heard the playback yet?
No.
Okay, neither have I. So we don't know what you're about to hear. We are going to edit it, but enjoy.
Say Will Young, Tynan Sinks. Yes! Did I say it right? Thank you guys. So excited.
Thank you so much. You do smell really nice, actually. Thanks for being here, everyone. You bought day passes, so you have to be, but I appreciate it.
Oh, this is my good side. I feel like this is like the beginning scene of Tar.
I didn't see Tar.
Okay, well, one of us is going to get canceled and one of us is going to lose our minds.
Which one? Yeah. Place your bets.
It's both already happened, so. Hey.
Yeah. This is weird.
This is our first live situation that we've ever done. So
yeah, we're in like a super casual fake penthouse suite. It's great.
I think this is a real penthouse.
This
but
is like a
we're the fake part of it.
Rent this room for like purposes.
We're usually in her apartment or on Zoom.
I know.
So this is.
And like my initial thought is like, we're wearing shoes as we record. We never wear shoes.
I know, exactly.
We're in my living room.
This is an upgrade.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Our podcast is called Smell You Later. It is about all things scent and smell related because we're freaks who love to smell things.
When we started, I was like, every podcast has a tagline. We have to have a tagline. And Sable was like, no, we don't. So we don't have a tagline. And so people often call us a perfume podcast, which is not untrue. But it's so much more than that.
I think it's just like the alliteration.
Yeah.
But we do talk a lot about perfume. And we talk a lot about other smell-oriented and olfactory stuff.
It's smell is wide as a net as you can throw is what we do.
Yeah.
Body products, deodorant, dish soap. But it's also like the chemistry of it, the regulatory of it, marketing. And also just like experience, like memory, like all of it.
I think one of our most popular or most listened to episodes is about the smell of death.
Yeah.
Where we interviewed a neuroscientist who like literally studied the smell of death, like as the human body decays, which was so interesting.
Yeah, it's wild.
That was our Halloween special.
It was great. And the guy, our guest, was in a rocking chair, and you could hear this like creaking rocking chair through his mic. It was like very it set the scene.
It was
really
spooky.
Well.
Yeah.
So we say it's your favorite podcast about scent and smell, because but it's really like it's evolved
our
into like
podcast about scent and smell.
Now it's like scent, smell, tax evasion, and our ex-boyfriends. You know what I mean? It's just like wherever we want to go.
I know. We go off book a lot, as we will probably do here as well.
Yeah.
I always tell people, like, if you like podcasts where it's just two people talking shit about people you don't know, like, that's our podcast.
And things. And, like,
and things.
Yeah, I mean.
And then you'll learn, like, maybe, like, two facts.
It's like, okay, we have to introduce ourselves.
We do. Sorry. See, we're going off book.
Yeah. You go first.
Okay, my name is Sable Young. I am a beauty writer, and I also write other things not about beauty. I was a beauty editor for a few years at Allure. I've been writing for like 10 years, which is how I know Tynan. We both got our start writing for this website, ExoVane. Well, it was like the beauty sister site of ExoJane, which more people are familiar with. It was very much like a show your ass for content purposes. Yeah. But we're both obsessed with fragrance. That's like the thing we kind of like connected on. And Tynan's written for me a lot when I was at Allure. He's written an award-winning fragrance piece. No big deal. And I don't know. I think it was... Okay, so I thought of this podcast idea as a joke.
Wait.
What?
Go on.
Okay.
Wait.
Just because I thought the name Smell You Later was funny, and then I was like, wouldn't it be funny if there's a podcast about smell called Smell You Later? And then Tynan was like, no. And I was like, but will you do it with me? And he was like, no. And then several months went by where I kept bringing it up because I'm annoying. And then finally he was like, okay. And then this was like March 2020. We all know what happened that month. We were set to do this in a studio, this podcast studio thing. They were like, yeah, we'd love to have you in our roster. And then the world shut down and we were like, shit. And then September 2020 is when we started, because...
We started that summer, but we launched in September. Yeah.
Basically, I just Googled like, how do podcasts happen? Like, how do I podcast? And like, apparently it's easy. Yeah. So
yeah.
So like they sell kits on Amazon, like literally any.
We didn't buy an Amazon kit, to be clear.
We didn't. So we got the equipment. We got on the mic. Mm-hmm. We just kind of did it for ourselves mostly as like a creative hobby. Then it took off and then we're like, fuck, now we have to keep doing this.
Yeah. Sable also has a major book deal. I don't know if you're going to like leave that out of the equation.
It's not scent related, but thank you.
It's
for
beauty related.
Jason Bragg.
And I'm Tynan. I am a beauty writer like Sable. I've been doing this for over 10 years. She was my editor at Allure, as she said. I also am a beauty copywriter. I work for a luxury lifestyle brand on their creative team. I have a bunch of, I guess, all fragrance clients right now. So basically, like, our lives, I don't know, like, revolve around beauty and fragrance.
Can you talk about some of the fragrance you've done copy for?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of the brands that you see in, like, Ulta and Sephora. Some NBD. Of, like, the cooler ones. What?
NBD.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, whatever. I launched the Billie Eilish fragrance, like, work for Paris Hilton. Some of those are, like, the more fun ones. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, our whole lives sort of, not revolve around beauty, but it's what we do. You know what I mean?
Not know.
Yeah. I mean, starting this podcast with her is, like, personally the best decision I've ever made. Because, like, I get to see my best friend once a week at least.
Broke
and,
you
like,
down.
Yeah. And, like she said, she had this idea, and I was like, I'm not doing that. And then we kept joking about it. And then every time we joked about it, we like talked about it a little more.
Yeah.
You know, and by early 2020, I was like, we're doing this, aren't we? And mm-hmm. She was like, yes. So I'm happy that we launched in the pandemic. I mean, I'm happy that we launched without the network that we were going to launch with, because we truly do this all ourselves every week, and it's a lot of work, but it's
we do all our own editing and not editing. And
we own it. And when you're a control freak like me, that's like the best way. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's been fun. Yeah. We interview people in the fragrance industry, perfumers, people in like the corporate areas, departments, or people who are just like very scent adjacent. I think a cool guest we had was Lauren Tamaki, who she was like a former like perfume counter girl in the mall. I don't know like how old you guys are, but like I grew up in mall culture, so you would always have to enter the mall through the department store, always on the beauty floor, and people would just like accost you with like smells. So I was like, as annoyed as we are by that, like what is there? Just like being like turned down all the time by people every day as a job. So that was a really fun episode. So we are meant to talk about our scent philosophies and what got us into scent.
Wait, Sable.
What?
What do you smell like today?
Oh, we're doing that. Okay, so we start off every episode by asking each other what we smell like today. And today I smell like Acro ink, which I have worn before many times. So Acro is a French fragrance brand by this one perfumer who's like, he's like the LeBron James of scent, like the MVP.
I don't know who that is, but...
Great, neither do I. The name came out of my mouth and I was like, yeah, that's right, okay. Yeah, he's like the dude who's made Mugler Angel. He made YSL Black Opium. He's made a lot of shit, but he made a line called Acro that's basically based on vices. And there's 7 scents, each based on a vice. I'm wearing ink, and ink is meant to be the scent of tattoo ink. So it's very leathery and metallic. There's like kind of like a gunmetal element to it. We always disagree about what this smells like because I'm like, it's woody and leather, and you're like, it's cold and metal.
It is.
Yeah. So Tynan always thinks it's metallic. I always think it's like nice and warm and woody, but either way, I don't know. I'm wearing this outfit and I was like, this looks like an ink outfit. So like, that's what I went with.
It's also fun to like do this show with another person because it just shows how two people can interpret the same exact scent very differently. And I think we're coloring it with our like experiences and our preconceived notions of like maybe what ink would be. Yeah. But also the same scents pull really differently on me and Sable, which is really funny.
Everything smells sweet on Tynan and it smells sour on me.
Yeah, everything.
Also the irony being like, I don't have tattoos and like you do. But I'm like, this smells like tattoo ink. And I'm like, I've never smelled that before in my entire life. I have no idea what that's like. But if it smelled like this, that'd be great.
Right.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
So I smell like Cloud by Ariana Grande.
Of course.
And before any of you get slick, we talk about celebrity fragrances on the show quite a bit just because I think they're funny and they're a part of the culture. But also they can be very good depending on who has developed them. You know, we have to remember that whether we're buying like a YSL Black Opium or, you know, anything from a department store counter or a celebrity scent, it's all made by the same people. And there are like,
yeah, there's like 4 conglomerates.
And when it comes to celebrity, I would say like maybe 2.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's tight. So it's all the same shit. But Cloud came out in 2018.
Sure.
And it just like fully changed the game for me. I don't know. I love sweet scents. I love gourmands. I love things that are a little weird. And Ariana Grande had like a couple of scents before and they were all fine, but I smelled this one and I was like, what's going on?
It is different than a lot of celebrity scents.
It's
when I first smelled it, I was like, huh, that's interesting. It wasn't like a just like a cloud of like sweetness.
Exactly.
Like you didn't just smell like a baked good.
Exactly.
Which is what like a lot of celebrity scents tend to veer that way. Mm-hmm. And like saccharin.
It's like red berries and anxiety.
Yeah.
But no, Cloud is, it's very airy. It's very creamy. I always say, like, my friends make fun of me because I say it always smells like charged air, but it does.
You use the term ozonic.
Ozonic.
Which I thought was very accurate.
It just like, it does smell like a cloud.
Yeah.
That's made of like a marshmallow.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Wait, Cloud's not made of marshmallows?
I don't know. But in my like, I don't know, 5 years of talking about it, I have moved so many units of this perfume that I should get some
Jesus
sort of
Christ.
Kickback, right?
Right? We should get commission for that shit.
We should.
Ariana. It's DM our good friend Ariana.
What's good? Anyway. Yeah.
So, how did you first get into fragrance? What was your formative experiences with scent that made you obsessed with fragrance?
I love that we're like interviewing each other right now.
I know.
My whole life has just been this like gigantic unending quest to become my mom. And she, when I was growing up, she would always wear perfume and she would change it up like every once in a while, every couple of years. But I don't know, that was like the one thing. I was always really obsessed with beauty also and like watching her get ready and everything and just sort of become this businesswoman. And she wouldn't wear a lot of makeup, but you know, it's just like the ritual of getting ready, like makeup and perfume, whatever.
Sure.
And now look at me. But yeah, I guess growing up, I didn't know that beauty was an option for me. You know what I mean? Right. I didn't know that like all of this was going to be my entire career and life. But I before I started messing around with perfume, I'm sorry, makeup, perfume was the entryway of like, I want to have this connection as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, as soon as I started like working, got my little worker's permit, I would spend money on fragrance. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's always been a part of my life because it was a part of hers. Now it's become my job because I tend to like obsess about things and then monetize them. But yeah, it's
the American way.
Yeah, I just think that's like my simple answer. I mean, obviously I love perfume, yada, yada, but it's that's how it started, you know? What about you?
I also, I believe my mom was a big influence on like my, I also was never allowed to wear makeup or like do anything to my head or body cosmetically until I was like literally like 16 or 18. So for me, it was like a forbidden fruit, which is why I look like this now and have like silly hair.
Same.
And I'm like in my mid 30s. So like, showed you, Ma. But she always wore Tresor, Lancome Tresor, Calvin Klein Escape.
Okay.
And yeah, those were like her main two. And I actually remember spilling a bottle of Tresor on her counter. Shit. I got in so much trouble. Also because it just like fucked up the wood of the dresser. Ooh, sorry, Mom. But in junior high, set the scene, it was like 2000, the year 2000, junior high. I'd go to the mall with my friends because that was like the only place you could go other than like a friend's house to like walk around and feel like an adult. And we would always beeline for Bath and Body Works.
Yes.
And every, I don't know, I feel like this was like the Spice Girls era of like, which girl are you? So everyone had to have like their own scent and like you couldn't overlap. And we all fought over Warm Vanilla Sugar, which we have in store.
Maybe.
Yes. We all fought over that scent. And I mean, Bath and Body Works, the price point was like, at the time, thinking of like the dollar. What was the dollar back in 2000 where it was what, like less than $10 for like a fucking body splash thing? And you could stash it in your locker at school. And I just remember like just walking through the halls at school and all these girls would just be fucking dousing themselves and like Juniper Breeze and like Freesia and like Sunripened Raspberry. And when you got to that Warm Vanilla Sugar cloud, it was like,
it was truly like the which I'm Spice Girl her. Are you? Yeah.
I'm the girl.
Yeah. Because there's truly like a Sweet Pea Girl.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Sunripened Raspberry
Cucumber
Girl.
Cucumber Melon Girl.
Cucumber Melon Girl, please. Yeah. It's funny you bring up Bath and Body Works because this might shock you, but like, I'm gay. And I often.
Big reveal.
Yeah, huge reveal. I've talked about this with you before, both on and off the mic, but like, I think fragrance was also my like secret way when I was that age and younger. Into like exploring that side of me that you
like
know
personal expression
and it was you know because scent's invisible and I was also a Warm Vanilla Sugar girl.
I knew it,
you know, but like I couldn't own that openly in middle school because I would have got the shit kicked out of me. So it's you know
I still got the shit kicked out of me.
Right. Well, same. But it's like they could smell it, but as long as they couldn't see it and didn't know what it was, it was like safe. But it's like it was like my own little secret. It's like ooh, like I, because I've always been drawn to sweeter, warmer, perhaps more feminine scents.
We have blotters of those, by the way, I can pass out.
So I don't know, I just think like that's, I mean, scent goes so many ways for so many people. So like, what about, what's your, I think you and I think this works because we have always written about scent in similar ways. We've taken a similar approach to the way that we write about it. So like, how do you approach that?
See, like, okay, the big thing about fragrance that I think everybody finds very confusing is that when you think of perfume, you think of like these like really sexy ads where it's just like, you know, Brad Pitt monologuing in black and white. And you're like, what the fuck are you saying, Brad? Like, what does that have to do with Chanel number 5? It has nothing to do with Chanel number 5. And I think they're trying to sell you on this lifestyle of like rich and sexy and rich and desirable. But that doesn't really translate to, I think, most consumers. And I think what does, at least for me, what connects me to scent is the memories and the experiences. Like, when I think of a very, very impactful scent, I think of the smell of motor oil because my dad's a mechanic. So I grew up probably inhaling things I shouldn't be because he would like come home kind of like smelling like gasoline and like car oil. And that's like a very nostalgic scent for me. And like you have a similar experience because your dad owned a bike shop, but then like other people would be like, oh, I have a totally different association with that smell. But the few things we have in common, I think it's a very strong link for people. I always love to kind of focus on the connective links of fragrance.
Yeah.
I mean, fragrance is an obvious one because they're usually very singular and like recognizable, but like, I don't know, when I think of like the smell of the beach, that's always really nostalgic for me. I grew up on Long Island. I would go camping in Montauk every summer. Mm-hmm. So like the beach is always like a really nice smell to me.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like artistic interpretation of the beach. I mean like the smell of like salt.
Yeah.
Like salt water. It's like almost like a little bit like vomity.
Yeah, the beach is gross, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of like not a great smell, but like to me it's so nostalgic that like I love that.
Yeah, you are very illustrative with the way that you is talking. Yeah. Sable doesn't give a shit about what's in the scent, like the notes and everything. She will tell you like what it looks and feels like. But it's funny because before the pandemic, no one wanted to run any fragrance content online, period. Because they told us it like didn't get clicks and whatever, and like, fine. But Sable, thank God, would always run my fragrance stuff. And she has been writing my fragrance as long as I have as well. And you know, no one gives you the vocabulary for fragrance like they do for beauty or skincare, especially with like growing up, you know, in the YouTube culture or even before that, like it's people telling you how to do your makeup or contour, like what the fuck hyaluronic acid means and does. You know, we all have that like little baseline knowledge of all of this, even if you have a modicum of interest in beauty. But fragrance, I feel like the language is very gatekeepy.
It's like very opaque.
And very, yeah. And like, I can tell you.
Even the terminology doesn't fucking make sense.
Exactly. It's like, I can tell you what notes are in a fragrance, but like, do you know what they mean? And do I know what it means? And well, it's like, I'm never going to say anything, one, without explaining it. But, you know, I can tell you that like rose, patchouli, and vanilla are in a fragrance, fine. But like, what does it mean? Like, what does it make you feel? What does it look like? You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like you and I do that.
Saying, I forget who said this, but trying to like tell somebody what a fragrance smells like by just listing the notes is like trying to tell somebody what a painting looks like just by saying what colors are in it. So it's like, yeah, there's like a little green there. And I'm like, I still don't have any fucking clue what this looks like. Right. But like, cool. I love green.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel like it makes sense for us to do this together.
Yeah.
Because we have very, I don't want to say we do it the same way because we don't, but we have very complementary styles of like our approach to how we want to approach this, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think a lot of people just like smelling good. And that's like just a form of expression that doesn't get due attention for how much impact it has, I think. And it always like confused me. I'm like, why don't we talk about this?
Yeah.
It's such a big deal to everybody, especially like in America, people are obsessed with smell, especially like things smelling clean or like sanitary.
Obsessed with smell and obsessed with not smelling.
Yes, exactly. Obsessed with not smelling.
Don't point at me. How do you think the pandemic changed the way that we approach smell in general?
I think we're just more mindful of it, especially because like the whole thing with COVID was losing your sense of smell. So there's that. And I don't know, I'm sure many people will agree with me, but like I love to eat. And when you can't smell, you can't taste. Because like 70% of taste is just like a smell. It's the volatile organic compounds that come from like the aroma of food that goes up to your nose that tells you what it smells like. Other than that, you only get like four kind of dull baseline of like sweet, salty, spicy, bitter. And then other than that, you can't smell like, you can't taste textures and like nuances. Also, I got asthma after getting COVID. Thanks a lot. So I have issues with this.
Speaking of volatile, some of these scents might be very triggering to you. I'm going to warn you. So we'll get to those in a second. Also, I think not to like harp on the pandemic, but we were all trapped in our houses for so long. Yeah. And it really, like, fragrance boomed during and after the pandemic. Real. The only, like, beauty did fine, but fragrance skyrocketed in sales of body products, candles, perfumes, because we, one, couldn't spend any money doing anything else if we were still making any money, and two, couldn't leave our house. So we wanted the house to smell good. And now, if you look at, like, just in these past 3 years, we have so many more direct-to-consumer fragrance brands because we all are now obsessed with fragrance, you know?
Yeah. I also think that for a long time, people had an idea of fragrance where it's only for special occasions, but it also is a source of like great personal joy, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, it's not cheap. It's a luxury item. Exactly. So like people probably feel like they need to conserve it or like only wear it for special occasions. But the truth is, like, you enjoying it is the point. And like people around you enjoying it, like everyone can smell you.
Yeah.
From like the UPS guy to like your work colleagues. So
yeah, every day is a special occasion.
I love getting a new job compliment from like some luck.
Yeah.
Like my neighbor, I was like walking downstairs of my apartment building And like, you know, like you walk, you leave like the apartment building with your neighbors. You're like awkwardly kind of like going the same way together. And then he goes like, your perfume smells amazing. Sorry, not in a creepy way. I was like, thanks, man. I don't know your name, but like, thank you.
Okay, so I see some blotters. And yeah. we have, I don't this know what's being passed
which,
out where.
Yeah, which one is this one?
But.
Okay. Some of you might be familiar with this.
Yes. We have three scents that we thought were a good like mix of things that we have very personal connections with, and also y'all probably will too.
Yeah.
Do they all have the same one right now?
No, they have two.
Okay. I don't know if we know what it is. I don't know if they know what it is though, so that's fine.
It's a fun guessing game.
I don't know what they pass out first.
Fierce.
Oh. Okay. So you'll know. The first fragrance I think I brought up because
it is seared into my brain.
It is deeply triggering for anyone who middle school, high school, elementary school in the 90s-ish. Yeah, anyone who's ever met like a teenage boy. I'm guessing that people in this audience recognize it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What does it smell like to you?
Yeah, what does it smell like to you? Axe. Ooh. It was like the precursor to Axe, right?
Yeah.
It's Fierce by Abercrombie and Fitch. And I'm sorry.
We're sorry to do it to you, but now you get it. See, this to me, this is the smell of me feeling like a stupid little misfit and like not being able to afford the clothes at the mall because my mom was like, I'm not fucking paying $80 for a dumbass polo shirt. And she was right.
Yeah.
She was completely right. And I'm like, thank you for that. But like I think Abercrombie was one of the first brands to scent market in such an aggressive way.
Aggressive is the
word.
Truly
aggressive. And I remember interviewing one of the perfumers who created the scent. This very enigmatic Frenchman, Christophe Lodmiel. And he was saying that the way they market tested the scent, they had a couple contenders and they went out to the nightclubs in the meatpacking district at 3 a.m. when they were like people were leaving and they were like plastered. And they gave them two options and they were like, which scent would you wear to get laid? Or which scent would you like, if someone was wearing it, like, would you have sex with them? And that's how they picked a Fierce.
Me being like any of them. also, this scent to me is just like me in middle school being like, oh my God, boys. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, but also I'm afraid.
Like excited, but terrified for like a million reasons.
Yeah, I'm like horny and afraid.
Exactly. Also, we didn't know this until we started the show. Abercrombie & Fitch Fierce is also available in Bath & Body Works under the name Mahogany Teakwood.
Yeah.
No one can sue us for saying that. I'm lying.
Legally speaking, for legal reasons, that is a joke.
For legal reasons, that's a lie. But yeah, so, but like, different context though.
Different context.
Because out of a candle, it's not as aggressive and like scary vibes as it is being like pumped out of an Abercrombie & Fitch or worse, like on a boy. You know? But I also can't imagine burning that in my house.
That's what like the boys would douse on themselves after gym class.
And you know, douse it.
That's like the thing. It's like nobody who wears Fierce can wear just a little bit. Like they have to problematically douse themselves in it. And that's how you know.
Every time I'm like out in the world, and if any of you wear this, I celebrate you. But every time I wear that or am like running around and I smell that on someone, I'm like, still.
We're still doing this?
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I
damn.
Feel you. I feel you. Like, every time I smell, like, Sauvage, I think that.
Oh, we're not getting into Sauvage.
Okay. We're not.
Okay. Everyone's ex-boyfriend smells like Sauvage.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
we can't talk shit about that. It's too current. Some people might be wearing it. Well, we have two more floating around.
Yeah. One of my big, like, perfume TM scents is Mugler Angel, which is, like, a huge, huge best-selling hit in the 90s. Same guy who did Acro, Olivier Crisp. Angel was one of the first gourmands.
It's like recognized as the first gourmand, which I can't be like true.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like that's, I'll give it to you, but also.
There is so.
But I like the way you describe it.
Well, yes, we're getting there. Angel is a funny one because there are just so many notes in it. I mean, think of just like any object, and it's probably
think
an
of the
angel.
Sink and it's in there.
It's like like tons of fruits, tons of berries, tons of florals. There's vanilla, there's chocolate, there's cotton candy.
Caramel.
Everything
popcorn.
Is in it.
Popcorn.
Yes. Yeah. Angel is the type of fragrance that we call a shit on shit fragrance, because it is truly just like a hat on a hat. Like they just they just like kept going.
I love hat on a hat. Yeah, they just kept going.
You can't miss it. It's
it's very polarizing.
Very polarizing.
People
pretty
either
heavy.
Love it or they're just like,
I think it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous after 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair. And you also have to like, you have to have worn it once to wear it right. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do anything, but like there's a wrong way to wear Angel. You know what I mean? Because my best friend was visiting New York and I have it displayed out on this little perfume tray that of course I have. And he was like, oh, it's Angel. It's so pretty. And just doused himself in it. And I was like, I have to spend the rest of the day with you. Yeah. Like,
dude, it'll chase you around.
It'll chase you around. Yeah. Do you guys know Angel? It's
it'll familiar. Follow you to the grave.
Yeah. What does it smell like to everyone?
College.
College.
Really? What college did you go to?
An old roommate wore it. The two of them a lot fancier.
That is a pretty fancy smell for a roommate.
Yeah.
I had a roommate who doused herself in Dior hypnotic poison.
Oh.
And now whenever I smell it, I just think of like all of the little petty little things. I'm just like little... Can someone wash your dishes, please? Like, fucking post-it notes like that. Did someone eat my last egg? No. I don't want your dumb egg.
I just love, like, I love people. You know how there's, like, a kind of person who wears Angel?
Yeah.
I just love people who wear Angel because they love to party. Like,
they do. People who wear Angel definitely do cocaine.
It's like, oh, yeah. It's like that. You know who wore Angel is, like, the girl on Sex and the City who fell out a window and died. She was absolutely... New York is over.
Yeah. I was like, the people who were Angel was like the dude who offers you like a bump of cocaine and like the boom boom room.
No, absolutely. It's LeBain, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, don't take it. Don't accept that.
Yeah, we're...
It's definitely laced with something iffy.
We're a drug-free podcast, except you last week.
Nothing up the nose. That's my rule. I don't... The snorting, I don't like it. It's not sexy.
Okay, we're moving on.
This happens a lot.
This does
Our happen. Tenant's like, we need to not...
There's sometimes like, do you want to talk about fragrance or not? Like, we have a third one going around.
Yeah.
It's my personal favorite of the three. And joke's on you, you're all now warm vanilla sugar girls just like us. Yeah. We couldn't do this without like the scent of the 90s and early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That was it. That was the one.
Yeah. That was, yeah. It all went back to vanilla sugar.
Cucumber- look at you now.
Yeah. And look at us now.
Yeah.
You guys have to have... memories of warm vanilla sugar. I'm not the only one, right? What does it smell like to you?
Sixth grade hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with the beads, right?
The little, yeah, those little boba beads.
Now they're all in the ocean.
Yeah, we're all eating them in the fish now.
No, honestly. I don't know. They're just like, there's something, it's such a nothing fragrance. You know what I mean? It smells like sugar in a cardboard box.
I agree.
Because there's a sandalwood note in it that's like really dusty. But I love it.
I love dusty.
I'd wear it today.
I like that.
We had Bath & Body Works on pretty early in our podcast lifespan. Yep. They were one of, surprisingly, a good guest. Not surprisingly, but like with bigger brands like that, you never know like what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Especially like if it's a department store fragrance brand or whatever, there's so much red tape to get through. You have to talk to PR, you have to talk to legal. Like, of course, none of which we're interested in doing. So we let them handle it. But Bath & Body Works came on and we're really like down to clown, was lovely.
They got it. It's
yeah,
great.
They did get it.
We're very silly. So a lot of corporate-ish guests, what do we need? Like, like they want to be like prepped and briefed on everything.
Which
and we're
is,
like, we want to talk about smells.
Right, that's which it. Is fine. Like we're professionals and we always send sample questions, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I don't want to ever call us irreverent because that's like so tired. But
I don't even
it's
know
not,
what
you're well, it's like, we're not NPR. You know what I mean?
No.
It's like, we're going to talk to you how we talk to each other.
Exactly.
And I think that's how it should be. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, not every brand is like down. But
I just thought of this.
Oh,
what
God.
Is your most triggering scent?
Oh my God. I know what it is, but it's not this. Should we talk about Secretions Magnifique? I'm
Do
whispering
it.
Into a microphone.
Do it.
Okay, wait, let me talk about my most triggering scent is Dior Sauvage. It came out in 2015. And I got it. I made the amateur mistake of giving a boyfriend a fragrance. And it was one of like those relationships. You know what I mean? It was like pretty long and it was great. Yada, until like it dissolved in front of my eyes. I would not have given this man this fragrance if I knew in 5 years that like every man in the world was going to be wearing it. Because it's one of those things where like 2018, 19 happened. And I was like, every man is now has Dior Sauvage. Like, what is going on? So it's like not bad triggering. It's just like, ugh, again, but it's everywhere. So like, I guess I clowned myself with that one.
Yeah.
What is yours?
So
I know what it is. Yeah. You're gonna
only tell me right here. Okay, so it's similar to you. I also gave a man a scent, and I don't regret this because I love giving people scents. I love connecting people to smells that they love. Also, you know, side note, as beauty editors and writers, we get sent so much shit. Like, so much shit that, like, we cannot... I have one body. I have one head and one face. I cannot wear all the shit.
But multiple personalities.
Multiple personalities, yes. So, luckily, we have a lot of access to fragrance, so I will often gift things away to friends if they like them or if I know I'm not going to wear them. And there was one scent, which, God, it smells just like sun-scorched dust bowl era. Tar, cowboy boots, leather, like, snake hide. Mm-hmm. It's like... in like sexy scent.
It's like a cartoon cowboy.
It's like
cowboy.
An evil cowboy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very much my shit. Which now I'm like in real time realizing, I'm like, is that the kind of man I'm attracted to? But anyway, I gave it to an ex-boyfriend. It smelled so good on him. Like in particular, like I've smelled it on other payment, just smelled like incredible. Something about like his skin chemistry just radiated warmth. And he would always say too, he worked at a bar and he was like, every time I wear this, like everyone is like, oh my God, you smell amazing. I'm like, well, you do. And then after that, we dated for, you know, it's hard to say the timeline because we were on and off for a bit. But like every time I would smell that, I would just like get like that like yeah. trigger of like him.
Yeah, right, right.
In like a good way and a sad way and like a nostalgic way. So it's like there's a lot of emotions wrapped up in that scent.
And it was too powerful.
It was too powerful.
Abolish men. are we supposed to?
Yeah.
Should we take questions? Do you want to talk about a fragrance that smells like semen?
Let's talk about a fragrance that smells like semen.
Let's take questions. A word that's going to take too long. Sure. Do y'all have questions?
Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, as we grow in our understanding of art or fashion or wine, that there are things we look back on and we sort of cringe that we liked something. Does that have any sense for you?
Completely. When I think of all like the scents that I thought were like super sexy when I was like 15, I'm like, like now, Victoria's Secret. I know the secret is not that great.
I've always had impeccable taste, so I don't look back. No. I still actually like everything that I've always liked. Yeah. I've always had this weird.
You have no regrets.
Like I have no regrets.
I have several.
Yeah. No. But I do think. Yeah. I mean, maybe not for me personally, but we all look back on what we wore or how we wore it, and maybe not regret, but you know, you grow and you learn. Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's funny to be like, huh. I really thought that was something. Huh?
I think you have to just look back on yourself with like love and care. You know what I mean?
Ideally. Not like a whole cringe.
Totally. What else?
Anyone?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a podcast industry-y question.
Cool.
Oh, God.
I'm wondering if you know who your listeners are and how they find you.
We were just asked this. By an advertiser. And we did not know. No, I'm kidding.
No, we know.
We kind of know. Most are people who are interested in beauty. That's like our circles, our realm mostly.
I think that's how it started.
That is how it started. We do get a lot of like sweet DMs from people who were like, oh, I was like kind of tangentially into scent. And then like, I found your podcast and I'm obsessed and just rediscovering like all these scents I loved and reconnecting. So that's like really nice to hear.
Yeah. I think the most gratifying part about doing the show is it is being received for the most part, exactly how we hoped it would be. It's again, like with the DMs, like, you know, I don't even wear perfume. I don't care. I didn't think that I cared about scent, but you guys make it so fun. And now I'm thinking about, you know, wearing scents or I'm just thinking about the scents in my life, whether it's hand soap or detergent or whatever. I am experiencing things differently because of what you've brought to the table. And that is so cool to me. Yeah. But I guess to answer your question, we know who our listeners are, like age demo wise, and it's sort of across the board.
Yeah. I just call it the girls.
It's the girls. Yeah. The girls and how they find us. Yeah. I mean, there's also a lot of word of mouth.
A lot of it is word of mouth. We have like an Instagram that we struggle to update every week.
Do whatsoever.
Really, we have no marketing effort, really.
The podcast itself is a lot of work, don't get us wrong, but we don't give a shit about social media. No. You know, so if we get a grid post up per episode, it's like,
yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah, but I feel like in our analytics, obviously, like the US is our biggest, like North America, US second biggest, it's Australia,
which shout out to Australia. I guess that's the best we got. We're not numbers girls.
We can't do math. We're too pretty for math.
Exactly. We're post math. Okay. Yeah,
any last takers? What's up?
My relationship with perfume has often been like, what's your signature scent? Mm. As people who seem to like
you love scents, you want to experiment with it, and you had to pick a signature scent.
We had this baked in, and we totally blew past it. We have three, right? No.
No.
No. We have one.
It's like, what's your favorite child? That's like, what it, well, like, also, like, this is obscene.
Two unmarried.
I probably own about, like, 75 fragrances. Oh,
you own more than, that.
Probably.
You own twice that.
Yeah. But lately, I can say lately, probably my signature scent is Mathieu Premier Crystal Saffron. And I've only had it for, like, since, like, August. So it's, like, it's pretty new. But I've just realized that anything that has, like, a noticeable saffron note in it, I'm immediately drawn to. And saffron is a spice. It's used in cooking. I don't know what else. Perfume, apparently. But
it's a lot of perfume.
In a lot of perfumes. It is really interesting. It's super multifaceted because it's spicy and warm and sweet, but it has this like, glassy kind of roundness to it that's like a little bouncy, which is what I love.
Yeah.
I love things that are really warm and spicy. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm more drawn to traditionally what it would be considered like for men's cologne.
Yeah.
But anything that's warm and spicy, like, I love it. But saffron, like, that's the shit that hits.
For
also,
sure.
Every time I wear that shit, people stop me on the street, do 180s and be like, what are you wearing? You smell amazing. So that's, like, kind of always a nice feeling.
Yeah. I have three, forgive me, but I'll burn through them. Yeah. One is Cloud, what I already talked about. It's just, like, it's the one. Intoxicated by Killian is really lovely. It's a coffee scent, and there's a lot grounding it, so it's not, it doesn't just smell like a cup of coffee, but it's this beautiful, warm, sweet, and it's gorgeous. I don't know why more people don't know about it.
It's a very horny scent.
It's a very, all of Killian's scents are so horny. And then I think my favorite is called 1996. It's anyone listening to this when we post it, it's gonna be like, shut up. But it's by Byredo. They just discontinued it, so I'm livid. But it's this warm, plush, suede-y, ambery, sweet, beautiful, just, it's enveloping and gorgeous. And you actually just
discovered it recently. And to me, it smells like when I think of lipstick, like vintage lipstick. It has that iris.
It has an iris smell. Note in it. Yeah.
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 It's like that comforting powdery smell.
Yeah. A lot of old makeup scents are pulled through into fragrances today. Mm-hmm. And it definitely has like a little
bit. It smells
bit
like
of
the
that.
Inside of a really expensive handbag.
Of like Mary-Kate Olsen's like teal Balenciaga.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
One of her The Row bucket bag. That's
right.
Like six.
Right. Exactly. Like. Yeah. In the back.
Do you have any recommendations for sampling strategies? Like, because things smell different on everyone and
yeah.
You can translate it different ways in your mind when something's written.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Totally. That's a good question. Yeah. I think you have
that's
a better an answer than
question.
I do. Yeah, yeah.
Well, most brands do offer samples. You can order them in kits, like discovery sets are always really fun. Standard size is like 2 mL, but like you can get like a week's wear out of two ml vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I recently discovered a decant site. There's many around. The one I discovered was called Scent Split. And they have a lot of niche artisanal brands that like you wouldn't necessarily find in a department store. And you can order like depending on size of like 2 mL, 5 mL, 10 mL, and they're different price points. So that's a really great way to like build a collection without like dropping $200 like on a full bottle of perfume that you might not finish.
Yeah, and what you're, you know, the amount that you're paying $8 to $12 on of like a luxury expensive perfume, mm-hmm. it's gonna last you a long time.
It does.
So that's great. And yeah, I mean, people also don't really realize that most places will make you a sample if you're in store.
Yeah. If you like go to Sephora, like they will mold anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they have to. No,
right. And like places, I mean, Brooklyn and New York have ton of brick and mortars.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good about if you really want to smell something, they'll give you a little vial or make one for you. Yeah,
also, just like gonna, talking to people.
That's how you get the free shit.
That's how you get the free. Yeah. Be nice to retail people.
Well, I think that's it for us.
Yeah.
But this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for having us. You guys are so fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.